Amen. All right, good singing all the way around. So now I learned Miss Courtney. One of my favorite people in all the world. I'm going to loan her husband that biggest flash water. She's the one that sent me all that paraphernalia in the mail. Yeah, go figure that. You better sleep with one eye open. Yeah, that's all right. Have I got this on or not? Yeah, here we go. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, into the book of Matthew. Thank you for that. I like a good laugh, even if it is on me. Yeah, it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 13. Matthew chapter 13, if you find the place you're able to stand, let's begin looking there in about verse 38. Now, in this passage here that we're looking at, we've got the Son of Man sowing a good seed. And in verse 38, "And the field is the world," he's about to explain it to them. "The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend." That's important that you remember that. They're going to gather out all things that offend. "And them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus now over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while this morning, if I might, on when it's harvest time. And let me tell you, harvest time is coming. We've got a young man sitting right here. He likes to farm, and he goes down there by the road, and he's had a pretty good crop in a place, I don't know, about the size of this auditorium here, maybe twice as wide. But anyhow, he's had several different things that he's planted. We're down there looking at the nice big sunflower they planted. It's as tall as he is, and it's nice and robust. And then over there, there's a lot of okra left, and there's a lot of other things left. I don't know, 6 or 8 watermelons about that big. And some of it he's already gathered in. You know why? It was ripe for gathering. It was harvest time. Up and down the road of life, you're going to see that harvest time has already taken place on many items, and they'll be in a little fruit stand somewhere. Well, because of the fact it's already produced what it's going to, it's produced whatever fruit it's going to have, and so it's gathered now for the consumer to be able to grab hold of at their leisure, and to have but a short time to be able to get it into their barn. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that Jesus is talking about that when the angels of God are going to be sent and gather out of this earth everything and all things that offend. Now, you know what offends the Lord? You know what offends? I can tell you what offends. Is that when you do not believe the word of the Lord, to trust him and do what he says, that's offensive unto God. And let me say to you that if you will, in a matter that God is long-suffering, God will put up with you. I'm hoping and trusting God will be so long-suffering with you to when God does come knocking on your heart's door, that you'll bow your head as well as your heart, receive him in the free pardon of sin, and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be one of your children and be washed by the blood and born into the family of God." If you don't, it's offensive unto God. And one of these days, God's going to come down and he's going to tell you, listen, there's a lot of religious people that are in the world without hope, without God. Did you realize at all that one of these days you're going to reap exactly what you've been sowing? Over in the book of Job, don't turn there, but in chapter number 4, about verse number 8, he said, those that plow iniquity will sow wickedness, you know. You try to sow wickedness and you're going to reap the same. Make no mistake about it, you'll find the reason why that folks that are sluggards, the reason why they don't plow is because by reason of the cold. They've got nothing to harvest at harvest time because of the fact that they put it off. Be not deceived. The Bible said God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here this morning, you're going to find out there's several things that we ought to look at before we get down to where the short row's at. You don't want to end up starting out with, ending up with the same thing you started out with, which is nothing. Remember that familiar passage over in Jeremiah chapter number 8 and about verse number 20? Whenever he talks about a man being lost without God, lost without the Lord, noticing the greatest need that a man will ever have is the need of the Savior, the need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that, if you will, man cannot save himself, never could save himself. He must come to Christ if he's going to be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Over there, he talked about the harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we're not saved, he said unto Israel. I got to tell you right now, his time and harvest time is getting nearer all the time. You may think somehow or another that it's just going to keep going on like this. You can keep putting off as long as you want to, but I got to tell you, you better get buckled down and tuned in to the preaching of the cross of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me tell you that when you get washed by the blood and born into the family of God, it'll be because of the preaching of the word of the Lord and the power of God unto salvation. You know, God talked about plowing in the Scriptures. You know, it's not just a surface thing, but God wants to turn you inside out and let you see yourself like he sees you. And in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that you had better seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's yet near. I was looking at this passage that we just got through, and over there in the book of Deuteronomy, you can turn to there. There's a passage in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 22, that explains the day and the hour that we're involved in. And as a result of that, there's many people that are going to die religious but lost and undone without God. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's in chapter number 22, and it's in about verse number 10. There's a passage that we ought to be looking at, Deuteronomy 22, and in verse number 10. Well, listen to what he says there in the passage. The Bible said in verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. You know, that's an unequal yoke. If you were to put an ox on one side and an ass or a donkey on the other side, that ox is going to be much stronger than the ass is. Let me tell you right now, it's not going to work. Do you realize that, though, that what he's talking about is that we're to make sure that there's an equal yoke together? That's the reason why I say a person and a lost person, they can't. That's an unequal yoke. Let me tell you, it'll be chaotic. That's the reason why that when you look into it, you're going to find God's not a mixer, he's a separator. That's the reason why you can't, the day and hour we're living in, they're trying to mix all religions together, all Bible persons together. And let me tell you, every walk of life, they're trying to mix it all together. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, is that you're going to find out is that God's not a mixture, but he's a separator. You can't mix all the Bible versions of the world together. There's going to be a separation. Not everybody that makes a profession is going to get in. Not everybody that claims and says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, it's a matter of being prepared in your heart and your mind. Do you know if there's not any plowing goes on in your life, there'll not be any sowing, because the seed will just lay there. It'll either finally rot, the fowls of the air will get it, but it's going to have to be, God's going to have to show us inside what we are and plant the seed of the word of the Lord on the inside of us. I got to say to you that, if you will, that whenever it's sowing time, and right now is sowing time, If you're here and you're not saved, it's time for the word of the Lord to be sown in your heart. If it's sown in your heart, it's time for it to spring forth and to bring forth the everlasting life. The Bible said there are those that are tares over there that were planted. The good seed had been planted, and then the enemy came along and planted tares in the field. They look so similar to the real wheat is that God said, let them both grow together. Unless that you root up some of the good seed or some of the wheat while you're trying to root up the tares. Now, I won't tell you, you and I can't look at everybody and be able to know if they're in or out. But I can tell you this, God can. God knows exactly who you are. God knows exactly what you are. God knows exactly what it would take to bring you up and out of the condition that you're in. And you know what it would take? I'll tell you what it would. It'd take you believing the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him for repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at, I want you to turn over there to the book of 1 Peter. It's in chapter number 2. And 1 Peter chapter number 2, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. This Bible says, while you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and then I want you to look, if you will, please, at a passage in Matthew 16. But in 1 Peter chapter number 2, I'll let you find that. You can mark it with something. And then we're going to look over there in the passage that we just got through saying, Matthew in chapter number 16. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, there's a passage there that we ought to look at just real quickly in the way of passing. Matthew chapter number 16, the Bible says there in that lesson, as we look there and as we look for it in verse 23, the Bible said, but he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art offensing unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Now I'll tell you, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Hey, listen, do you know the reason why if you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, God's knocking on your heart's door, and you've not yet done anything about it, or maybe you've bowed your head, but you've never submitted openly to baptism. You know the reason why that is? You're not willing to come after Christ because you'd have to deny yourself, take up a cross, and you say, well, it's not easy for me to do it. It'd be as easy for you to do that that it would be to deny the Lord and to offend Him because you didn't believe His word. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, Simon Peter, whenever Jesus told him what was going to happen to him, said, all of you will be offended of me because of this night. Simon said, though all be offended, I'll not be. And here's what Jesus told him. You know what you are, Simon? You're an offense unto me. Anytime you argue with the word of the Lord, you're an offense unto God. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that he finally realized that, no, when it was too little too late, he didn't know what he was talking about. He had good intentions, no doubt about that. But look in your Bible, if you will, please, over there in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2 and about verse number 6. We'll just take up reading there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. And we're talking about something from the word of the Lord. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him is not confounded. Unto you therefore which believed, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become a head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You know, here's what ends up happening. Paul the Apostle over the book of Acts in chapter number 24, about verse number 16, he said, I've tried to exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God. And I want to tell you right now is you better be sure that the actions you take, that the lesson you believe, that you're not waiting till the end of the harvest when it'll be too late, but while it's time for reaping, you can be saved, become one of God's wheat, bundle for the barn instead of like a tare and leave this world offending God, not believing His word, and being bound up and bundled for the burning. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's a lot of things that offend the Lord. But the main one is, the main one that you'll never get past is to leave the world having offended God by not believing what the word of the Lord said. You know, whenever you don't believe what God said, there's not any hope for you. I've literally sometimes, I've had people, you know, and used to whenever I was younger, I would be thinking this here, I think, you know, one is that there's got to be a way to reach this person, and there's got to be another approach to it. There's got to be another way, maybe. That's what's wrong with Baptists now. They're looking for another approach to it. I'm going to tell you something, that when the Holy Ghost of God comes knocking on your heart and shows you yourself like He sees you, then and only then have you got the divine touch, and that God will grant you to repent and give you faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this here in the book of 1 Peter. We looked at in chapter number 2, and we talked about the Word. And I want you to turn now to the book of Romans, and we'll be turning there to close up here this morning in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 5, it's about verse number 15 that we're going to be looking at. And in the book of Romans there, chapter 5, and he says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ." See, if you get to the place you think there's another way, then what you're doing is refusing the only begotten Son. And it'll offend the Father, I can tell you. Now, in verse 16, "And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, for judgment was by the one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses to justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, so much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ." Then verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation," that's Adam, "even so by the righteousness of one is the free gift," that's Jesus Christ, "came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by obedience of one shall many may be righteous." Now, why does he say that? What does he say? We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why does he say that by one many shall be made offensive or disobedient? Many were made sinners. Why does he say that? I'll tell you why. Nobody ever gets saved till they see they're a sinner before God. And not everybody's going to see that. Not everybody's going to want that. Not everybody's going to believe that. I'll tell you, whenever you don't believe what God had to say, what you're doing is you're calling God a liar, because you've received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, and so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I don't know a whole lot about this and that. And let me tell you right now is that I've not touched the hem of the garment in all the years I've been in the ministry. And neither has anybody else. And let me tell you right now is that I can just keep digging and digging, because I'm never going to arrive. But I'm glad that I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound, because that over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus bowed his hand, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, that whosoever will may come unto him. I'm glad it's not a test or trying out to see how it's going to work. I got to tell you right now, let me tell you how it's going to work, is that those who come to know Christ will be saved by the grace of God. Those who don't will die without hope and without God. If you live without God and you die without God, you're going to spend eternity without God. Somebody asked me and said, "I want to ask you this question here. You've had some hard licks in life. I've been around. I've seen you. I've known you and this and that. And so how do you explain the fact that y'all have had tragedy sometimes happen in your church or in your life? You know what my answer is? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Well, what about those people there that we know openly that have been wicked and so forth and on, and slanderous and scoffers? You know what my answer is? My hope is built on nothing less. I'm not worried about what God is or is not doing to something else. But I'm glad and rejoicing Him that I know Him in the free pardon of sin. See? And as a result of that, if you are saved by the grace of God, it's because that you've come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. When a person dies without the Lord, they have offended the Lord because of the fact they did not trust His Son, who would have saved them from the guttermost to the uttermost that come to Him. I wonder this morning, what about you? As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our musicians are coming, our song director is going to be coming. Maybe God's... Sir, ma'am, maybe God is tugging at your heartstring. This would be a good time to come. While we pray together, Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word. Bless, I pray, this invitation time. Knock on every heart that's ready and ripe for picking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.